When a new priest comes, there's a lot of questions. You know, how does Father want this? How does Father do that? What will Father say about this? So many questions. So many questions. In fact, the servers, not to embarrass them, but they were quite nervous this morning. And I told them, I specifically told them, so there's nothing that you could do except maybe pick up a chair and throw it at me that I can't deal with. So I tell you that because, well, there was a server at St. Patrick's who was very goofy. If he was here, he'd tell you he's very goofy, because he is very goofy. He reminds me of me when I was his age. But he would constantly bring me the missile backwards and hand it to me. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? I can't read this. I told him, I said, if you do that one more time, I'm going to take my microphone off, and you're going to pray the prayer. So that missile was handed to me upside down today, and I thought, no, I can't do that just yet. I'm not going to do that to her just yet. God bless you. So, there's many, many questions. How does Father do this? How does Father do that? One question that I'm certain is on every one of your minds is, how long is he going to preach? Well, I can't guarantee you any specific quantity, but I can say that I might preach longer than Father Stephen, but for those who have been here for a number of years, I guarantee you I ain't preaching as long as Father Gary. Not going to happen. Love the man to death, but my Lord. Very good. So, and then of course the question, well, how long is Mass going to take? Well, you can do the math. I mean, it'll take as long as it needs to take, but it won't take any longer than it needs to take, if that makes sense. So, we come together for this wonderful celebration of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the quintessential Catholic celebrations. We celebrate the Eucharist, that which makes us different. We receive, we believe in the true presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. It's an amazing thing. We have an amazing God, don't we? An absolutely amazing God who desires to be so close to us that not only did God take on flesh and be amongst us, fully human and fully divine, but he also continues to come amongst us in the form of common bread and wine. In fact, these two realities, this feast of the church and then another feast, the feast of the Annunciation, often can be seen to line up directly. Both involve the Holy Spirit descending upon a common element. Both involve words of institution. Both involve a change in our reality, a change in the world, a inbreaking, a miracle that takes place. And so the Annunciation, the angel Gabriel, came to the Virgin Mary and said, God desires for you to bear within you, a human being, God's Son. God fully human, fully divine. And Mary said, yes, let it be done according to thy word. And there we had it. A miracle took place. God took on flesh. In a similar way, the priest, committing the words of the institution of the Eucharist, says the words that Christ said at the Last Supper. The Holy Spirit descends, and common elements that can be found from the equator to almost the very northern and southern reaches of where anything will grow. Bread and wine, wheat and grapes, things that everyone, basically every people in the world, have access to. Common, ordinary, somewhat, you know, unimportant. Bread and wine. God comes in those forms. Takes possession of those to be amongst us in a very intimate sort of way. This reality that God takes common elements and does extraordinary things, miracles with them will be a theme of my preaching, of my priesthood, of my time here with you. My desire is to reveal to you the love that Christ has for each and every one of you, to love you as Christ loved you, to walk with you, to sometimes challenge you to further conversion in our Lord. And that challenge, if you don't have an understanding of where I come from, might not feel right. So I want to give you a view, an understanding of how I know from the bottom of my being that God does extraordinary things with very ordinary items, with very ordinary subjects. People talk. That's the way people are. I know they do. And so you may have heard this from other people, what I'm about to share with you, or you may hear it along the way. So I want you to hear it from me. So you know that I stand before you, honest, broken, and real. I have, for most of my life, for as long as I can remember, have struggled in some way with anxiety and depression, with mental illness. This reality, not very early on, but pretty early on, led to self-medicating with alcohol. My brother, my youngest brother, he also struggled with mental illness. In the December of 2012, just a few days after Christmas, in a fit of despair over his relationship, my brother took his life. And that led me and my family, of course, not knowing what to do with that new reality, that loss, that grief. I began to medicate all the more, looking for some way to ease that pain, that suffering that I could not put words to, that no one really could put words to. Later that year, in 2013, I was ordained a deacon. Not being as honest as I should have been with my struggles, I was ordained, and then I had my first wedding in November. I went to the wedding reception. I drank way too much than I should have. I'm not proud of it at all. In fact, I thank God every day that no one was injured, especially some innocent bystander. But I drove. I got into a car accident, hit a telephone pole. The officer on the scene recognized, discerned that I myself had a lack of concern for my own life. And so instead of taking me to jail, which he had every right to do, he took me to U of L psych ward, the scariest place on earth. I can tell you stories, oh my Lord. From there, I went to Our Lady of Peace for several days. I was released. I did intensive outpatient at the Brook. Right down the road. It's like I'm meant to be here. I did that for a month, and I was sent away to St. Luke's Institute, a place where priests and religious go to seek treatment. I was there for 6 months. I came back, re-entered seminary, was ordained a priest, and God has continued to work wonderful things with a very, very broken, very vulnerable, very real human being. I have, come this November, been sober for 6 years. And through the... Oh. So I guarantee you, no more telephone poles in my future. Day by day, day by day. But I tell you this, so that when you sit in those pews and you hear me challenge you in the future to grow, to seek Christ ever further, to know that God desires to work through you. You know that I'm coming from a place of honesty. And I know for a fact that God can do amazing things with each and every one of you, with myself, with this community. I desire to walk with you in that, to love you, and sometimes to challenge you. Let us receive the Eucharist today knowing that it is that God that truly leads us in that conversion.